Aleluya, aleluya. As we continue on with your feast, Abba Yahweh, the last great day, we will hear the warning from the shofar. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We barak you this day, Abba Yahweh. Bless the man, servant that's going to speak to us this day. To strengthen our life as we end this feast, Abba Yahweh. Strengthen each and all your saints this day. Keep the shalom, Abba Yahweh, in their life. Thanking you for the precious blood of your son, Yahshua HaMashiach. As I end this prayer, where everybody saying, hallelujah, way.
Praise him from your inward parts, hallelujah. Come on and shout the Teshua, in Yahshua the Lamb, Israel, come on. Hallelujah, way, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All is well. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Certainly is the time and the season, and Yah has commanded unto Israel that we may come into the bayit of our Abba and rejoice of the abundance that he has showered down upon Israel. And it was one thing that he was very grieved with when Israel began to hoard, to steal, to rob from him. He began to shut the windows of Hashemayim, whereby there was no message delivered unto them, whereby the Nabi could not speak in the authoritative power of Almighty Yahweh. And that has transpired in this generation as well. It is a generation that has turned its heart away from Yahweh. There is no direction that this generation takes that has been imparted into it by the Ruah, and that is the living power of the life of Yahweh in man, where he takes those paths. For all the ways of a man, they are pure, right, in his own sight, but Yahweh, he weigheth, or he balance the Ruah of a man, the purpose, the intent, and the spirit of a man. He balance and see whether it is based upon the principles and teaching of Torah, was based upon his own proclivity, his own ideology, his own philosophy, or has it come from the pages of the book. And we know that the book is written in Israel. He has not left us alone. We were never alone. That is why the promise of the Ruah of Yahweh, that Yahshua said that the Abba would send unto Israel, that the Ruah, the Spirit, would draw from the well of life, and every word that Yah speaks, it is life, and it is the power of his life in it, because it is Ruah. And so he did not leave us comfortless, and the Ruah of Yah draws from the living well. It draws from what he has written. He has placed in the left, the inward parts, the mind of Israel. And that is what it draws from, not from the folly, the jesting, and the jive that we all have learned in Christendom, which was not of Yahweh. It was not. As we come to the close of this tremendous, great time of the year, the Feast of Sukkoth, the last great day. And as we that understand some idea what farming is, we can see the relevance in everything that Scripture teaches us concerning this wonderful time. We know that the men would gather in their crops into their barns, their storehouses. That is why Yahshua spoke unto the rich ruler. He said, I have much. I've gathered much. And instead of me giving it properly unto Yahweh like I should, I have much laid back for me. I will tear down the smaller barns and build me greater ones that I may have much. Yah commanded unto the man, you fool. You are a foolish man, because a foolish man will always say nay unto Yahweh. He said, your being is required of you tonight. That is a metaphor of Israel. As a man increased, he become more stingy with Yahweh. As he gains more, he becomes more stingy. And as Yah began to bless their fields to produce, as Elder Wyman reminded us of the seed, you must have the seed for the next year crop. And the word of Yahweh is not a hybrid words. It is the authenticity of his truth as to who he is. It is not some hybrid seed. It produces seed after its kind of zerah, the life source entity of fruit. That is what a seed is. It is a life source of the fruit that comes forth. So this parable of this rich ruler, it is a metaphor of Israel. When they began to increase much, and our minds have been that way in the secular acts of Christendom. We made more, we gave less. The more we make, the less we give unto Yahweh. We would decry, if you bless me to make more, I will give more. And the more we made, the less we gave unto him. And so that metaphor of the rich ruler says, I will tear down my barns and build me greater ones, that I may have much, for have plenty. Now my being can relax, eat, and have much, and nothing shall come near me. Yahweh says unto Israel, you're foolish. You have robbed me, you have stolen, you have kept back fraudulently those things that actually belong unto me. You have not given cheerfully with a gladness of love, not realizing that I had poured out the rain from Hashemayam. You planted the seed, but I had to pour the rain and to bring the increase. I am the one that did that. I am the one that has bestowed upon you the great abundance and the sufficiency for the time that is ahead, when drought may prevail, when all kinds of diseases may be upon the land. I am the one that has given you proficiency that you may have enough in the time of like. Not as to what this corrupt generation of religious worshippers teach today. Yahweh is talking about the things that are of a great value, the things of the Ruah, of the Spirit, the things of one's mind that comforts one's mind and gives them consolation in the waiting patiently upon the promises of Almighty Yahweh. It is nothing like planting a seed in the ground. I tend to look at the ground often because I want to see the germination of the seed. And when you see that germination, you see that little tender plant breaks through the ground. You understand the ultimate result that you're looking for. You know what it is going to produce. But it is a great time of just gladness to my love to know that this is going to produce fruit. And one seed in the ground produces an abundant of fruit. You sow one seed of corn, but yet there are many ears of corn on the stalk, and there are many kernels of corn that is produced. And when you see that rise up out of the ground, you wait with anticipation and delight to eat the fruit. And there's one thing about those that labored in Israel, that save their best and most fruitful crops for this time of the year, that they may bring an offering fitted for a king. It was not an offering that was subpar. It was those things that they tenderly watched over and carefully to make sure that they germinated on time and that the fruit would be abundant and luscious upon the plant. And when he brought that offering unto Yahweh, there was a great time of rejoicing. That was a wonderful time of comforting because it was a laborious task doing the seed planting, the sowing, and the reaping of the harvest. To reap the harvest is tougher than planting. Because when you plant one bean seed, you may own that one vine or bush, you may get 100 beans. And so at this time of the year, there was great rejoicing, the time of festivity, because they knew what Yahweh had done. There was a great sound of the shofar in Jerusalem, and it caused the heart, the levim of men to rise to that occasion of the gladness of Yahweh, what He had done, what He had brought upon them. The rains were plentiful. There was much, the diseases and the canker worms did not overtake their crops. So there was an abundance there, and there was much left for the gleaners, those that were poor, those that were not a part of the commonwealth of Israel, that they could glean from the field, and there was much for them. It was as much as them given unto Yah that they delighted in, that there was residue left for the gleaners that they may come, that they may glean, and that they may have sufficient to sustain them during the course of the winter months. I have often said that I almost detest summertime, but I love what it produces. Because it is a time that the spiritual powers go forth to battle. And they play on every aspect of the natural proclivity of man. You find the nakedness of a generation. You find the carelessness, the unlimited types of behaviors. And it is a tremendous spiritual battle in the mind. What a young man, a young woman must deal with those that are older. The things that they must constantly be bombarded with. Just as though the seeds open up to produce fruit, so does the seed of darkness open up as well to produce fruit. So you find the nakedness and the gluttonousness of a generation and a people that has removed themselves far from the Torah of Almighty Yahweh. So this time that Yah has brought us unto this great last day, knowing that the lev of His people will be saddened because of the time to disperse, and they all go their way to continue in the path that Yah ordained, that they began to cause the plows to plow up the furrow. You must understand right now, we will plant wheat or rye if we can find cheap rye in the fields, that it may sustain the other life that we have here. And that is what Yah has done. He always gives us a cover crop. In essence, the cover crop supplies the nutrients to the soil that when you turn them in the next year, you have the nutrients, the nitrates and the phosphates and the calcium that you need in the ground, that it may produce plants that are alive and have life in them, that they may sustain the cellular body structure of man. So you do that at this time. And so what Yah does at this time, He covers Yisrael when they come before Him with gladness and rejoicing. This was a time of great rejoicing. It did not have to be prompt because they came and they drank the wine of gladness. We ought to be drinking the wine of gladness out of the cup of Yah's hand, not from the dregs of Yahweh, but out of the living cup. And it was a time of gladness, and the wave offerings and the sheave offerings unto Yah. And they brought it deliberately, and they brought it free willingly, and they brought it with great substance, and they brought it with a great delight, and they brought it with clear conscience as who they were bringing it to. A generation that do not have the clear conscience of Almighty Yahweh. And they were fed sumptuously there in Jerusalem. As the eloquent orator spoke of the profound works of Yah and the words of testimonies that reflected what Yahweh had done in the mountainous regions and the far reaches away where the Israelites were as they gathered there to build this cathedral of a memorial unto Yahweh with an ikat, a voice of oneness. For it was one of Tefirath and Shimshah, one of great gladness and joyousness as to what Yah had done. And the Nabis, as they had watched the great reproof during the course of that year, so it is in farming. You must prune the trees in order for them to produce abundantly. We do not prune the apple trees, the grapevines, well, the branches will overtake the fruit and the nutrients will go to the vines and the leaves. It will not go to the fruit. So you must cut them back vigorously that they may produce succulent, abundant fruits. You must do it that way. So during the time of the seed sowing and planting and cutting and weeding, we come to this dispensation of time. Whereby all of those things that we toiled in, we labored in, we were in the sun, now we come to the time of refreshing. There is nothing like working in the sun during the day in the summer and you sit down, not for Gatorade, but for a glass of cold water, a cool water that just permeates the body and touches every extremity of the body. So in this hour of ingathering, you have gathered all of the fruit and the abundance in, and then you sit down for the refreshing glass of water, the comforting of the word of Yahweh that comes from Hashemayim. For you have cut during the course of the year. You have weeded during that time of the year. You have dug around the plants. Some have died. You have removed them. And now through all of that toil and all of that labor, we come to the time whereby we can sit and drink the refreshments of the cool glass of water. Not water is your shoe. So that's what this time is all about, above all things. We have been corrected and disciplined. And so at this season, we look to ourselves as we look in the mirror and see if there are any fruit. And those little immature fruit or our ways that have been immature, we have cast them off. We have cut them off. And so when we come to this time, it is a time, a word comes from Yahweh to comfort, to esteem, to lift up the level, to promote the very seed that is in there, that the germination, as though it is under the ground for the season, it shall be gathered. It is one thing about the heirloom seed, you can keep them for hundreds of years. They will always produce. The genuineness of the word of Yahweh, it will always produce. That's why we have hybrid religions today and hybrid emotions, hybrid doctrines. But the authenticity, and it is based in the Bereshit, the genesis of all things, it will produce seed after seed after seed. It will always produce seed. And in order for there be fruit, the seed must always be planted. So there's a season that passes this that we will begin to plow. And the word of Yah will begin to plow us. We'll begin to cut deep down into the depths of our life, our minds, our thoughts. And then there's a time where we began to sow the seed after we have plowed through all of the fleshly carnality that is based upon our own emotions and our own feelings. And once we began to sow that same seed, the word of Yahweh, the Torah of Yah is the same. And that is why at the beginning of the year it was appropriate that the Torah, the seed, was read again. The Torah was read again. So the seed, the word of Yahweh, must be, it must be taught continuously all the time. From the same batch of seeds you may sow, some plants grow a little immature. Some do not grow as mature as others. Some do not have the robustness as others, but it is of the same seed. It has come from the same seed or the same bag of seeds. And so the book we must begin to sow again. What? The word. The word that we sowed last year, where the depth and the riches of it on this new year, it is greater. Every year, brothers, every day I learn and every day I grow exponentially. I can look back last year and see the shallowness of this man. I've always done that all of my life, and we should do that. And so the word that we as leaders and laymen, we that teach and instruct, we that hear, we that admonish, we that exalt, we that reprove, we must begin in this hour as we make preparation to plow our own land, that we may come forth even in the year to come with a more excellent word, a more excellent seed that will produce excellent fruit, an excellent fruit. The husbandman, if we are husbandmen as we stand here, we must plow the ground properly. And you must sow the seeds. The seeds must be sown. It is one thing about the hybrid seed. You can collect the seeds this year for next year. But you will get probably a 60% growth rate. And then if you do it after that year, it will probably be 30%. Then the next year you will get maybe 10%. A hybrid seed has been altered. It has been mixed with other elements. The DNA has been changed with human DNA and plant DNA, animal DNA. But the pure word of Yahweh is unchangeable. So the word of Yah, it is unchangeable. It is always stable. It is always bountiful. And so we as husbandmen, as we plow the fields next year, we got to understand a little more about the soil. You understood a little more about how and when to weed. And so the next year, as it approaches, as we began the unleavened, the masvah of Yah, as we sit down at the table of Yahshua HaMashiach, then there should be a more excellent truth that when we look back on the past year, we can see our shallowness and how our inabilities were so exploited, but our own unwillingness to tend to the affairs of Yahweh. You cannot produce fruit without tending to the soil. You may think you can. It's one thing about the virgin soil. You can take a piece of soil that never been planted. You can plow it, and the fruit will grow abundantly. It will. Because the soil is virgin. There is no things to impede the growth of the seed that you put there, because the residues of that lie in the ground. It lies there. And we that are husbandmen, we understand that and we know what seed or the seed that must be sown, that it may produce the excellent and the abundant of the fruit of Almighty Yahweh. So as we go from this moment, I do want to read a few scriptures that will comfort the love of Israel, that we may be strong as we prepare for the winter months that are ahead. And during the winter months, everything become dormant. We become less enthusiastic. Our bodies do not function physically the way it ought to. And yet there are plants that thrive even in the colder weather. There are plants that grow and produce even in that time. It is to show us that we ought to produce what is needed for that battle that is ahead. You cannot grow cabbages in the heat of the sultrous summer months here. You cannot grow broccoli in these months. You cannot grow cauliflowers. You cannot grow Brussels sprouts. Lettuce will not do well. There are certain kinds, but they will not do well here. With this weather here, the lettuce will spring forth, the collard greens, the kale, the mustards, the turnips. They will grow abundantly, the beets and things like that. Crops, root crops and things that have sustained, that will sustain a life through the course of the harshness of the winter. So we began to place the root crops out. We began to harvest the root crop. What is that? Well, our love is rooted and grounded in the Ahava of Almighty Yah. Being rooted and grounded. So we must have the root crops as they began to come forth, that it shall sustain this life. Well, what is the root crop of Yah? It is His Ahava. That is His root. His Ahava, His love. Period. And so we have that to sustain us during the very belligerent cold times of the winter months, that our lives are made fat, we are made strong, that we are ready to plow the grounds when the seed time comes. And in Yah season, the seed times began in His new year. It began. It began. We that are the husbandmen that plows and turn the soil and turn the love of a people back to Yah, then our strength, our maturity must be enhanced from one year to the next. It has to be. I want to read a word of comfort to Israel, because this is a time of comforting. To take comfort in the fatness of Yahweh's production. We look back on our lives. Sure, there were us that were shallow. There were us that were weak during the course of the year. But you can look and see the little incremental changes that have transpired in your life. You can see things that you were once accustomed to doing, that they have no strength and power or over your life at all. They do not rule you. A child does not walk in the first step. And yet in the steps of as they grow, I'm quite sure none of us as adults have never stumbled and fell walking. The only one. You as adults, you never fall and stumble. I'm talking about physically. So do children, do they not? Sure. You watch the little ones that are egotistic to walk, and they are excited about their paths or their steps, or they stumble, they fall, they squat. I watched a man of the day and he fell, and I wanted to say to him, that's all right, we all do that, my friend. But you could tell it was a shameful thing, because the first thing he did, like you or I would do, look and see who's looking. Because we associate that with stupidity. Well, man, you just simply lost your balance and you fell. That's it. Period. And we lose our balance. Our temperament is not as it ought to be. So we lose our balance and we fall. We fall into the alluring seduction of our own flesh and our own strengths. And our strengths are no strengths at all. I want to read a word of strength unto Israel. I simply want you to hear. Hallelujah. A word of comforting, Naham. And the comforting of Yahweh is for one purpose. It is to give strength unto Israel. That is why He comforts us. That is the Naham of Yahweh. To strengthen the house of Israel. I'm so amazed at Shaul. There were those in Trophimus, Onesimus, Tychicus, Timothea, young men, that His love delighted in them. For they were strong fellow laborers, as He called them, mighty men of the knowledge of the essentials of the Torah truth that was revealed in Yahshua. Jao, knowing that his time was near, but he wanted to comfort and to make sure that Israel was comforted and the knowledge of this truth had grown expeditiously in their lives. And so he will send messengers. He will send those of that he knew their love. He will send messengers to inquire of the house of Israel. I want you all to hear this. He says in Corinthians, just listen, 2 Corinthians, read the whole book. He says, bless me, Yahweh, even the Abba of Yahshua our HaMashiach, the Abba of mercies, the Abba, the mighty one of all Noham. He is the one of all comforts. You must realize that Shaul in his great battles, knowing that his time was near and he would come to his demise, he wanted to assure those of Corinthia of the great mercies and the comforts of Almighty Yahweh. He tells them, who comforts us, not in some but call all our tribulation. He comforts us in every battle, in every trial. And Shaul was in the flux of a great trial of tribulation. He was being tested on every hand. His dedication, his sincerity unto Yah was being tried. But he assured them that Yahweh, he brings this Noham, he brings the strength of hope, of tikvah, that we find in Yahshua. And that is what this season was for. It was a season to assure Israel that their hope in the Yahshua, the Savior, that it was solidified as they will bring their offerings of Totah and their offerings of Hutah unto Yahweh. That he will be satisfied with all of the abundance. So Yahweh brings us great comforts, even in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Was not this a time of comforting to those that were not of the house of Israel? Were not, there was much left in the fields for the gleaning, and their lives, or the levim of those were comforted by what they could garner and reap from the fields. He said, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of Almighty Yahweh, by the same Noham that brings the strength of assurance of this tikvah, this hope in Yahshua, we comfort you with this. Did not Yahshua come in the fullness of the power of Yahweh? Is he not the fruit-bearing tree from Hoshimayam? Does he not bear the fruit in every season? As Deacon Bitter reminded us of the tree of knowledge of Tov and Raph, and of the tree of life. And we must eat from this tree. And as we eat from the assurance and the comforting of Yahshua, we have great confidence in our Abba. We must do that. Shaul says, for as the suffering of HaMashiach abounds in us, so our comforts, our consolation, also abounds by Yahshua. Even though there are afflictions, we are caused to endure great afflictions, yet in the midst of that, the comforts of enduring that, we know we have a promise of hope in Yahshua. And it calls us to delight in great fatness. Even those that when they will come unto Jerusalem, the fields did not produce as others. It was not a consciousness of what I got or what I had. It was the delight to bring unto Yahweh that which was proper and fitting to go into the storehouse. Did we not hear Brother Dell say that he doesn't know any other young man that he grew up with that is rich as him. In the substance, the blessings of Yah, the mind of Yahshua, the love of Yahshua that is greater than all the riches of the world. When a man understand the strength of that, there is a gladness that proceed out of him. It is like a well of water. It springs forth life. You can never have the production or the reproduction of seed without a living source of water. So rain on us, Yahweh. Let the Ruah of Yohashimam rain upon us. You cannot have that without it. Hallelujah. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation, your comforts. If I endure, it's for your comfort. I have to toil in the fields. We have to dig with the hole, but it was for your comfort. We come to the gathering of this last great day. We can eat. We can dine on the plenteousness of Almighty Yahweh. We know that we have sown, but Yah has sent the rain. We thought no rain would come, it would come. And the increase has not come by our multiplication choice, but has come by the very principles and the order that Yah has put into that seed that it may produce. I say to all of you, my friends, my brothers and sisters, where the word of Yah is sown, the zira of Yah, it shall always bring forth. It shall produce. You may not be as strong as the next one. You may not have the proclivity or the drive or the desire, but you do not hinder that word of Yahweh. Let it produce because it will produce. I tell you, the rain will come. The rain shall come. The rain shall come. It shall be poured upon the seed and it shall produce. It is very vital now that we get rain upon the fruit trees. Because they will not produce as much in the fall when they begin to produce. It is essential. So it's important that you get rain upon you today, during the course of this week. That the seed will not go dormant and will not produce next year. We'll get the proper nutrients that it needs. He says that whether we be afflicted, it is for your comfort. It is for your naham. It is for your strength of the hope of promise in Yahshua and salvation. Which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffered. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your comfort and your salvation. Shaul said, when I'm comforted with the abundance of Yah, even though there's much tribulations and trial, he said, it is for your own comforting, that you may know that I am comfort, and you know that I am comfort, that it gives you resolve within you that the comforting of this promise of salvation, the Yoshak of Yah, causes your love to be comforted with great delight, because you know that there is a tremendous promise. You would hear the old farmers and men, as I've always been an attentive listener, they would always say, well, tomorrow look promising. They would say it like that. Even though there was no rain, they would say, well, tomorrow look promising. They would say that tomorrow look promising, so we know that tomorrow look promising for us. Whether we arise or whether we sleep in the grave is promising. Whether we lie down tonight and rise not in the morning, we shall rise again. For tomorrow is promising. Now, they will not say tomorrow is promise. They will say tomorrow is promising. There is something to look forward to on tomorrow. They knew that was sufficient today, but there was something greater of apprehension to look forward to on tomorrow. So tomorrow is promising. We will break the fallow grounds and tomorrow is promising. Look like the weather will stay that we can gather in and garner the fruit of the field. It was amazing how they had discernment of the sky. They could go out and say, we need to get those beans in, Mama. Why, it's going to rain. Oh, it's not going to rain, Jimmy. Mama, get on out here, get them boys up. We're going to get the field today. And they would go out. That's why Yahweh, in the power of Yahshua, the Melechim, they are standing ready for the harvest is ripe. All seeds of wheat do not mature the same. All of them are not of the same height, but they are still wheat. And that one may be fuller, there may be more substance and more abundant in that kernel, but yet there's wheat in the kernel that is smaller. This is a small member of your body, isn't it? Is it valuable? It is of great value. Losing that throws off the balance of the whole hand. That baby toe, it has a tremendous position in the balancing and the equilibrium of man, that he can walk in the proper balance. Certainly it does. And so we shall be no harm as we see the abundance of Yah, as we go into the storehouse and you look, say, man, as you look into the book of life, you say, man, there's enough here to feed me until I die. Whether there are trials, there's enough to feed me in that.
Whether there are tribulations, I can eat and be confident in that. Whether I'm sick or afflicted, there's enough to eat from the storehouse. The storehouse represents the very love, the very essence of God. As we have been plowed through the course of the year, and this preacher has plowed us all, beginning with him. As the seeds have been sown, as the watering has come, all of that, yet there is enough in the storehouse to produce a crop and a harvest that when you look back in the storehouse, there is sufficient to sustain you. Surely. We need to understand that. You can never be a farmer or a man that understands what it takes to produce crop without working the fields. You must work the fields. The word of Yah must take its course through the husbandman. Does Yah stand by everything he says? For that is his life. Did he forsake Yahshua? Was he well pleased in him? So we can always go to the storehouse, the book. For this book is our storehouse. It is where the riches of Yahweh is. Not as much as the literal book. It is what he has written in the book. In the scroll of our life. He has put it there that we will not become complacent. We will not forget him. Don't forget the tov of Yah. Don't forget what he has caused you to reap on this year as it comes close to the next year. Don't forget that. There have been moments that you were very weak. No ability to press beyond. And yet you went to the storehouse and there was sufficient grain. Just like the widow of Zarephath. And it seemed as though your strength was abated. The matter of Yah, the word will come to you from the storehouse. That there is grain for you. I thought that there was no whole stale bread there. Yet out of the storehouse will come a whole stale bread to bake, buttery flavored with nothing but the truth of Almighty Yahweh. And your soul delighted to become fat. And when you thought there was no gobbler of water, there was a pristine golden gobble that sat by the table. And it was filled with the living water that flows from the veins of Emmanuel. It will bring an easing of one's affliction. It will soothe one's affliction, even though that there was great traumatic battles. Yet the bread will bring comfort to the left. Go to the storehouse. That's why you bring it to the storehouse, and there will be the wherewithal to sustain you until the seed time and sowing began. In the year of Yahweh, that you may receive in the latter end. That's what we are doing. And I believe that when Yahshua comes, this will be the fulfillment of this memorial of this Sukkoth. We live in earthen tabernacles, our bodies, are they not? And the weather and all things affect that. That is what the Sukkoth is. It was something that was organic, that you knew that there was no promise in that. You did not trust in that, but you trusted in him. We have no power to know what's taking place in our bodies. You can't even see your inward parts. You don't know how your physical heart or your lungs or your kidneys, how they're functioning. You can't see the little speck. You don't know that. And so we look for the foundation of the city whose builder and maker is Almighty Yahweh. And the pillars of that city is the strength of the promises of Yahweh in the power of Yahshua the Lamb. Yeah. So these are earthly bodies that we dwell in. They're earthly. They're organic. They're going to be dissolved. But yet we look for the one that has the everlasting comforting of Yahweh. That is what the storehouse represented. So we bring today, we gather in the praises and the offerings, the Torah unto Yah, that our lips are not satisfied with how we Torah him yesterday. But there is a kasindra of Torah and a huda unto Yah, that we may go back in the times of afflictions and trials Hallelujah. Just like Hezekiah did, whereby there was a memorial unto Yahweh, that when Yah looked in the book, when he looked in the storehouse, there was sufficient to sustain him for another 15 years. We need to know harm of Yahweh. After the farming season, it's nice to rest your feet from the hot sun. I look forward to the cool weather. I do. You picking watermelons and it's 90 degrees at 9. And sweat profusely pouring off. But there was a great delight in that. There was a great joy in it. You knew you were operating in the realm that Yah always intended for us as men to operate in. I'm not going to be before you long. Listen to this. Shaul also says, and he would always do this as he ended a letter, an epistle unto the Israelite brothers. He says this in 2 Corinthians 13. Listen. He says, finally, understanding his demise, he says, finally, my Israelite brothers, farewell. Maslomka, farewell. It's time for me that I know my time is near. He said, be complete, be perfect. Let the power of the complete Torah, and that is the life of Yahshua, dwell in you, that you will be without sin. You will not cause infractions upon the Torah. For we know that sin is a transgression of the Torah of Yahweh. That's it. Period. We do not have to transgress the Torah. I know what we may think is sin. If a man think it is sin, it is a sin unto himself. But it is not what the Torah says. Told him, my brother, it is the truth. He says unto them, be of tav, excellent comfort. Be of ikad, be of one mind. Be of the purpose of Yahweh. He says, live in shalom, live peaceably, live with kindness and tenderness toward each other. He said, and the Abba of Ahava, of love, and shalom shall be with you. What a word of comfort and assurance. That's all we have to do, brothers and sisters. I concur with what Brother Dell said. I have shalom. I'm of tov comfort. I am not worrying about tomorrow, for tomorrow is promising. For me to live is Yahshua HaMashiach. For me to die is gain. If it's tomorrow, it is promising. He tells us to be of tough comfort, to be of that ikad, the mind of Yahshua. Live in shalom, and the Abba of Ahava, of love, and shalom, he will be with you. He commands us to greet one another with a kadosh kiss. All the Yisraelite kiddushims, the saints, they all greet you with a wonderful salutation. When one has true comfort, then they have the ability to greet. They have a salutation. The old kiddushims, they would wake up and say, honey, I'm just glad to be alive. And there was an spree of expression upon them, and you knew it was genuine. Because they tried to live in shalom with their neighbors, all that lie with them, they tried to be at shalom peace with everyone. And they could look at the docket before they would lie down at night. And they would say to Yahweh, I've sinned against my brother. Above all of our sin against you. They did not know that they were expressing what Torah says. Everything in the book is of the Torah. Yah says, first of all, to love him with all your mind, soul, all your strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. Upon this hinge, every mitzvah, the power of Torah. Greet the Israelite brethren, sisters, and be of great strength and confidence. What we need today, we need the men of character and strength that emanates the very persona, the personality of Yahshua the Lamb. There was one that Shaul had, two of them. I want to speak a few moments on them. He had such great confidence in them that he could send them abroad to the Israelite brothers to do one thing, to comfort them. It says here in 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonica, in the chapter 1, listen to what it says. Shaul says, when we could no longer stand it, when I could no longer bear to understand your conditions, we thought it tough to be left alone at Athens. He said, and I sent Timothy here, your Israelite brother, and he is your Avid, or your minister of Yahweh. He said that he is our fellow laborer in the Bizorah, or the message of Yeshua HaMashiach. He shall come in the strength of Messiah. He shall come in the tenacity of this living Torah. And he shall speak unto you, my Israelite brothers. You receive him. He says he come for one reason, to establish, to make you stable, to make you strong, to give you foundation. He come to do that, to place you firmly in the body of Yeshua. And above all, and to comfort you concerning your emunah. I know that there are some of you that are weak, but he has come to comfort you concerning your emunah, your confidence in Yah. It may seem as though that things are not transpiring the way that you perceive or thought that they would be. But he has come to comfort you, to simply say that all is well. All is well. That would be the phraseology of the old Kedushims, even though they were ignorant, but they would say, all is going to be well. All is well. Hallelujah. All is well. So he declares unto them, Timothy shall come unto you to let you know that all is well. I'm here in Athens, and there's a great affliction of battle that I'm enduring, and I'm just not free to come unto you right now, but I shall come. So I send my fellow laborer. I send a young man that has the strength and the maturity of Yahweh, has the character of HaMashiach, has the power of his Mashiach. So he comes in the strength of Yah. He said that no man shall be moved from by these afflictions. Don't be moved by your afflictions. There is nothing like working in the fields in the summer, for the sun will afflict you. It will exact all of your strength. It will take everything out of you. I was telling you all one day, I went down to see Elder Jones, Toda Elder Jones, Maslom Kati, you're wonderful to see you and your wife today. Bless you both. And this old man, he is 90 years old. He was out in the fields that day when I went. It was every bit 85 degrees. When I passed the old man, I say, what is he doing there? So I turned around and went back to the field, and he was hoeing. He didn't stop because I stopped. Of course, with his laughter, he laughed. And I walked out there and said, how are you doing, old man? I said, it's awful hot. He said, I know that. He said, I got my chair here. He would hold down a little bit, go get his chair, bring the chair, sit down for a while. And those were long rows too. And it was hot. And of course, me being a young man, I said, oh man, give me the hoe. You just sit there. You go ahead and talk. And of course, Elder Jones can't talk. And he began to tell us some of the stories. And they're always the same. Although he's getting a little older, he's getting older. And although he may be not as cognate as a young man, the stories are still the same. The stories about his daddy, the stories about life, the stories about Yah, they're still the same. He didn't know who I was, but the story was the same. He did not recognize me when I said, this is Elder Roberts. Ah, Elder Roberts. And grabbed me again and gave me an enthusiastic hug. But his stories are the same. The way he tells them, they never change. They have not changed. And I listen to his phraseology and see, has it changed? So is the word of Yahweh. It has never changed. The comforts, the noham of Israel, they are unchangeable. So the history of the book, men may draw to alter it, The phraseology may not be the most impeccable, but the story, the history has not changed. For Yeshua has come into the world. He is the light of Yah unto Israel to redeem us from the power of hell. It has not changed. He declares the authenticity of His power, that He is the Son of Yah. He is the living Word of Yahweh. Has not changed. Men can try to alter it, but it will not change. So don't be moved by the afflictions of the brethren as they labor, we as we labor. For Joseph know that we are appointed to this. We are appointed to affliction. If you farm, you're gonna be afflicted. Sure you are. There will be mornings that the bones just do not rattle right. There will be mornings you get up and the knee just cannot seem to be set in place right. So these afflictions we are appointed, many are the afflictions of the Sadiq. But Yah delivers them out of them all. That is our comfort. You said these are afflictions, but He says move back. Just stand back and see the Yeshua of Yahweh. He tells us to stand back and watch my hand, my right hand, Yeshua part the Red Sea. And He's going to part the seas that we must traverse, and the great battles of the raging of the sea, the agony of pains, the afflictions, the tears that flow like rivers when no one sees the tears. Hallelujah. He tells you to stand back and see the right hand of His declaration, and there is no sword of destruction, but the comforting of Yeshua. It is a time of comforting, of great comforts. For Israel, we have toiled all year. Now is a time of comfort. We come to rejoice and to have banqueting and to sit at the feet. To sit at the feet of our Abba. Hallelujah. He said, for truly, verily, when we were with you, we told you before that you should suffer tribulations, even as it come to pass, and you know. For this cause, for this purpose, for this desire, when I could no longer forbear, I knew your trials. I knew that there was seed there, but you needed a little watering. I knew you had Emuna. I knew you had confidence in Yah, but I knew you needed a watering. When I could not bear the burden of it, when it seemed to bear me down with great travailing and a yoke that was so burdensome that I could not sleep, my prayers were toward you. He said, I said to Morpheus unto you to know your Emuna, to understand where you all were sitting in Yeshua. He said, I sent him. I told him to drop everything and go unto the brethren of Thessalonica, for I inquire of their welfare and their being. I want to know what is in the storehouse. He said, least by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor was in vain. It is something when you labor in the garden and you go back and it's nothing there. That doesn't mean that it was empty. That your purpose, you had toiled the soil, you had turned the soil. You had made sure everything was there. And so in doing that, you turn up life that destroyed plants, the little hidden bugs, the little small things. So it's beneficial to the next year. And so even though that Shaul, knowing that he had preached unto them the power of Yeshua and the life that is in Yeshua, there were those that he was getting messages from them that there were conflict and great battles. So he sent a young man that he had great confidence in his Ru'ah. He said, you go unto them and speak and water that which is there. You lay hands on the elders and let them know that I stand with them. Stand firm and do not capitulate. Do not vacillate between the letter of the Torah and the life of the Torah. For if we stand in the assurance of this Torah life, it shall produce the abundance of fruits. And the fruits shall come. He goes on to tell them, but now, when Timotheus came from you to us and brought us tough tidings, wonderful speech, accolades of great wondrous works there of your emuna and your hava. He said, I heard those things, but those that had spoke those things, they had not been among you. They had come and visit, but they had not lived among you. They had not been in your place. That's what he was saying, my brothers and my sisters. So Timotheus is no telling how long this journey lasts. He could have been there 6 months. You cannot just jump in a vehicle like Elder Wyman drives from Columbia, Brother Ricky. It would take days to get there. Weeks to travel that distance. So he said when he came back and he told of your emuna, your ahava, that you have tough remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also desire to see you all again. Therefore, ye Israelite brothers, he said, we were comforted. We were made fat over you in all of your afflictions and distress by your emuna. Even though you were distressed, you had confidence in Yahweh. For the assurance of Yahshua rests deeply and profoundly in you. You had great confidence in Yahshua. You had gone to the storehouse, your labor, even though it may have seemed in vain, there was sufficient root crop, the ahava of Yah in you. We must be grounded and rooted in the ahava, the dabah, the word of Almighty Yahweh. We must be. We have to be. Every crop must take root. You can't grow anything without root. You can do it hydroponic and all of that, but it doesn't produce the same thing that goes into the ground. It is different. Hallelujah. You can grow it in the greenhouse, but it's not like the outhouse of Yahweh. You can try to disseminate or try to produce the same kind of flow of sun is not like the sun of Yahweh. You can water it from the earth that has been filtered down through the earth because of the wickedness of man that polluted it. But it's not like when it comes from Hashemayim. It brings down the nutrients, the phosphates and all that it needs. I don't believe that Noah, I don't believe that when he began to replenish earth, I don't believe that Adam, I don't believe that they had to get cow manure. Only thing they did was till the ground. And they obeyed the Torah of Yah. In the seventh year, they let it rest. In the third year, when the trees began to produce, the fourth year, they let the fruit drop. Everything dropped. They did not eat anything at all. And the dropping of the fruit, it produced the type of acidities and the things in the soil that beetles and bugs and things would die. And they cannot consume the fruit because of the greed of man and the lust of man. They will not obey the Torah disciplines of Almighty Yahweh. So they have raped the soil. They have reduced it down to nothing, that it cannot produce anything of life. Hallelujah. So we that are rooted and grounded, we have our tikvah, hope in Yahshua. Let me finish quickly. He says, for now we live. If you stand fast in Yahshua, you live. For what Torah can we render unto Yahweh again for you? He said, what thanks, what expression of gladness can we render unto Yah for you? For all your joy, Yoshimcha, wherewith we joy for your sake before Yahweh. Shaul says, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your emuna. He goes on to say in this expression, that even though that we were not near, our prayers were for you, because when Timotheus came to give us the consolation, the comfort of your comforting and your sincerity toward Yah, he said, we dance. Even though I was afflicted, I shouted. Hallelujah. There's nothing like a man sitting down knowing that he has plowed the fields, and he sit down, the old daddy, especially in the old days. I used to love sitting with Sister Robert's grandfather. Because this old man, he was born, I don't know when he was born. He was born in the early 1900s. But he has such a mind of history of things that took place. And I would sit and listen for hours. did not try to show him what I knew, but I would listen to that old man, and the stories to me were so marvelous. There was nothing like that old man in his bib over horns. Mama had cut that sweet corn off the cob and okra, and she had baked them biscuits in that wood-burning stove. And he would come out of the field from a laborious day. And even though he was afflicted and his body could not press at times, he would do that. And he would sit down at the fragrance. And she didn't have a whole lot of spices, just a little salt and a little pepper. Maybe a little fat back she could add to the corn, a little grease. But he would sit down there and the aromas of the flavor would just flow. It would begin to revive that man. Oh, taste Yahweh and see how tough and how pleasant he really is. When the man began to eat that, his whole body was revived. His inward parts and whereby he did not want to talk to mom all of a sudden. He began to mutter words. He began to say things unto her. It revived him. Cause life to rise up in it. The old metaphors, that's why Yah wants us to grow. Dig with our hands. I was out the other day. I didn't want the tractor now on those sweet potatoes. I wanted to dig them with my hands. Get down there and say, Nate, you stack them. I get them. I want to get them up. The beauty of them, the big yams popping through the ground, sweet potatoes. All I want to do is pull them up, track them, mess them up. I got there with that pitchfork. Oh, I could feel that in my chest. I hadn't done anything like that in a while. But believe me, you could feel that. As the old Kiddushim say, I feel him in the inside. I feel his strength in me. I feel his power moving all over me. Not this abominable trash that they're doing. Hallelujah. It gives you comfort. It comforts you. I'm afflicted, but that's all right. It's all right. As the old ones would say, everything will be all right after a while. They knew it after a while. Whether it's life or death, it was after a while. It's all right. Ja'ul, even in the second letter that he writes unto them, to speak unto Thessalonica, yeah, that they would not be consumed with the apostate mindset. He exhorted them to be strong and to be steadfast in Yeshua. And that he prayed for them. He says in 2 Thessalonians, Thessalonica, yeah, 2, he says this, Sha'ul said, but we are bound to give Torah always to Yahweh for you. We are bound, brothers and sisters. Brother, sister, for we are bound to give Yah Torah. We are bound to give Torah unto Yahweh for one another. We are bound to give Torah. For we all have fallen short of the mercies of Yah. It is just His unmerited favor that has secured us. He has simply elected you. He said, we are bound to give Torah unto Yahweh always for you, not sometime. He said, my Israelite brothers, beloved of Yahshua HaMashiach, because Yahweh has from the Bereshit chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Ruah and belief of the power of the Torah. Has He not from the beginning? Has He not before the world was formed, did He not ordain and elect you to be the Israelite of His bosom? So you give your Torah, why? Because I've been in your same position and you have been in mine. No one's testimony is more extreme than the other. When one is afflicted and the power of sin grab hold of them and make them wretched, they are turned away from you. So I don't care what the manifestation of the sin is, sin separates. So he said, I comfort you to know that I get Torah. I know you've fallen. I know you've come short. I know you've done things that Yah has not been pleased with that. He said, but it was his plan. It was his election, his calling from the very Bereshit that he elected you. Even though you stumble, you fall under. He said, I want you to take comfort in what I speak unto you. For the great day was a time of great rejoicing and comforting. Hallelujah. He says, whereunto he called you by our Bezorah, by the message that we preach, to obtain the tefireth of our master, the praises, the honor of Yahshua HaMashiach. Therefore, Israelite brothers, I like this. He says, stand fast. Just stand fast. Stand fast. Stand fast, he says. Stand in the confidence of Yahshua. Stand in the sure. Stand fast. And he said, and hold the commandments and the traditions which have been taught, whether by word or by letter or by epistle. He said, now our master Yahshua HaMashiach himself, and Yahweh even our Abba, which has loved us and given us everlasting comfort, a consolation. He has not just given us a partial comforting, he has given us everlasting. He says, stand fast. That's all right. You've been afflicted. Stand fast. You have an everlasting consolation that Yah has given unto you. It is the comforter of Almighty Yahweh. It is the Noham that Yah has given unto you. He said, and Tav hope of Tigvah through the free Amerita Hava and the favor of Yahweh. What a profound statement. That Yahweh has favored you to call you to be afflicted and to go through trials of endurance. And then at the time of the great celebratory event, that there's a great Shimsha, great Tefireth, joy and honor that you bestow upon him. And we take comfort in that. We have an everlasting comfort. Yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil. This is how we declare it. For it is the power of your rod, the rod and the stem that came forth out of Yathi. It is your rod and your staff that brings strength of the promise of the Tikvah, the hope that I find in the power of your Torah. That's alright. We all going to walk through the valley. The shadows of death. You feel no evil. It's the rod of Yah. It is a staff that comforts us. You get out of places, staff say, nah, Gene, I don't intend for you to be there. And the staff would grab you around your neck and pull you back in place. Come on, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. We put the hole to the weeds. It doesn't discomfort the broccoli, but the broccoli is comforted. Why? Because those are weeds set off toxicities, draw from the soil, but it's one thing what the word of Yah does. As the evangelist of home would always tell us, put the battle axe, and we take the axe and put it to the root of the plant. That no life can rise up in it. So we have an everlasting comfort. We have an everlasting consolation in Yahshua. It is not temperate. Temporal. He said, knowing that, he said, comfort. Comfort. That's all you have to do. Comfort your own hearts. Comfort your lover. Comfort it. And establish you in the tough word of the Kitvei HaKadosh. In the scripture. That's how you establish yourself in the scripture. And in the mitzvah, the commands, the workings of Yahweh. Comfort yourself. Comfort. This is the time of comfort because you know you have labored the way He commanded you. Well, I've fallen short. That's all right, but it still produced something. Hallelujah. I've gone out there and see a little stalk of okra that big, but yet the okra pots on there bigger than one that are tall. Do you hear me? I've seen okra that big. We grow crimson here because it is an heirloom okra. You can save the seeds for the next year. I can see a plant that big, and it produces more than the one that big. You understand? So it doesn't mean the nature of the size of one. It is what is in that, what that little plant has grown from. See, one that is sincere with Yahweh, they don't boast in what they know. They boast in Him for what He has done. Their rejoicing is not in their establishment or their place, but it's in the one that has placed Him because He knows who has placed Him. It is Almighty Yahweh, and He's assured that Yahweh has placed Him because of His HaMashiach. Because you make the most sound, that doesn't mean that you're the most productive. Hallelujah. So He comfort them. We're going to walk through the valleys of the shadows of death. But we take comfort in Almighty Yahweh. A few more scriptures. Brother Jason is going to come and say something to us, and then Elder Martin. We're going to have a song or two, and then we're going to close, all right? Then we may truly have a little fellowship today. Yeshua, Yah says, He says unto the Nabi, He said, comfort Noham, you. Comfort you, my people. Say that the mighty one, Yahweh of Israel, shall comfort you. So we comfort the people of Yahweh. We speak the comfort of His truth unto them. We feed them with this bread of plentiness. You understand that the seven ruachim of Yah? Now that is a very powerful expression of revelation truth in those profound powers that Yah has given unto Israel in the receiving and the acknowledgement of Him upon whom the Ruah of Yah rests upon Him. You cannot have the Ruah of the Spirit of Wisdom without the power of Yeshua resting in you. You cannot. He said, I will not leave Israel comforted. I will pray to the Abba. He will send another comforter. It's a profound, it's more profound than I can express, really. Hallelujah. That's why, my brothers, all of us, you study to bring forth the proficiency and the power of the truth of Yahweh. We are without any kind of excuse. Shaul could not send Timotheus unto those elders that were very versed in Torah. They were profound men of knowledge. Then he said, this young man, knowing that he had the power and the proclivity to speak with the dynamics that none of them spoke with. It's nothing for me to reprove you all. But I must give you wisdom and understanding of the truth. Then when I reprove you, then there's a great teshuvah, a repentance, a sorrow. And even in the sorrow, there is a comfort. If you literally search the scripture, the no harm of Yah, it has to do more than what we use the expression in the vernacular, the English, the comfort or consolation. It has to do with repentance. It has more to do with that than anything, the teshuvah. Hallelujah. It's nothing like a wonderful meal that comforts you, is it? You can sleep well too. I don't care what you say. Nothing like a beautiful meal. Especially when you eat the proper amount. Hallelujah. This you can eat and you still won't get full. Just feed me until we want no more. I speak to no harm of Yah to Israel. Our labor has been much. Eat the fruit. We have much laid up. Yah will take you through. The trials will come. Things get a little tougher during the winter, do they not? My wife said to me other night lying in that tent, oh, my leg. Well, the pain, the agony of that is. I say, Sister Roberts, you like the cold weather, but you have problems then. She said, no, Pastor Roberts, but I still want the cold weather instead of the hot weather. I'll endure this. I don't know. Hallelujah. And so in the wintertime, the time we need to have, make sure we have the root in us. You got to have the root crops in. You got to have the crops that produce in the winter. You must have that. Shaul says, I want to read a few verses in my closing. Shaul says in Ephesians, he says this, as he desired the prayer of the brethren, and he always ended his conversation unto the house of Israel with a tremendous blessing. He says this in Ephesians chapter 6. Listen to this. He says, and for me, the utterance may be given to me of the word of Yah. The speech may be given to me. That I may open my mouth boldly and to make known the mystery of the Bezorah, of the message of Almighty Yah and Yahshua. Now that is what we must open our mouths to make known boldly. Do you hear that? To make known, to understand the mysteries of Almighty Yahweh. That we may understand what He intends for us to have. That we may progressively grow. I was telling Pastor Hunter, I said, if you put fertilizer down now, organic, for planting things, it's not going to begin to articulate into the plants until next year. It takes about 7-8 months. I said, but there are things you can do to put on the plants that will produce plants. So you want to put fertilizer down now so that it will enhance the growth of your things next year. That's how you do it. Your farmer, no, I just know how to grow things. He gives the increase. Hallelujah.